It is a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. And just before we kind of start, I happen to notice there that Grip Media have put up a news story. And this is the latest Ipsos poll from the Irish Times. It was a snapshot last month, probably taken during the European elections, actually. The poll found that 81% of the comments in relation to the government's handling of immigration were negative, that it was still the number one issue for the elections, next to housing, which would be second. And what blows my mind is I offered people, and others did too, by the way, in the local elections, an alternative to the government. Somebody who had a common sense voice in relation to immigration. But thank you to those who did vote for me, but not enough of you did. If everybody who I met on the streets over those 8 weeks actually voted for me, I would have been elected. I would have had a powerful platform in Europe to address the issues. Now, people say, well, what could you do about immigration, Boylan, while you're over in Europe, Mr. Big Mouth, you know, over there in the gravy train, your big salary? Well, what I could have done was drawn attention to it. Because right now I have a platform with a few thousand people. Radio, I have a platform with a few thousand people. But in Europe, you have a platform of online 250 million people. And as I said to RTE, I would have embarrassed the Irish government. But the problem is, we've just sent four idiots back to Europe again from the main political parties, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Labour and Sinn Féin. You've done exactly what you shouldn't have done. Why? Why do people do that? Is it Stockholm Syndrome? Is there something wrong with you all? You want change, but then when you're offered an alternative to change, there's a fear of change. Why is that? What is wrong with you? And there's part of me, and by the way, we appreciate all our listeners, and I don't believe it was the people who listened to the show. I don't believe it's the people who listen to me on a regular basis or respond to me on Twitter. I genuinely believe they want change and voted for change. But the rest of you, who might be just tuning in for the first time, what's wrong with you? You know what? When it comes to immigration, you deserve what you get. You realistically just deserve it now at this stage. Because you're listening to the government. For 3 weeks coming up to that election, Simon Harris and the Irish government turned a corner. They said they were going to do something about immigration. I told you they were lying to you, but you wouldn't listen to me. And since the election, have you heard them say anything about it since? Of course not. They're pushing ahead with the EU Migration Pact. They're doing all the things you don't want them to do because the election is over now. But watch what happens again now in autumn or the end of autumn when the next general election comes. They'll pretend once again they're on your side and you'll fall for it. Some of you will. At least 50,000 of you didn't and voted for me. And many others voted for other candidates around the country, local candidates around the country who were running. This is not about, you know, being extreme right wing or anything like that. I'm certainly not extreme right wing. I consider myself right of centre. I consider myself logical and have a lot of common sense when it comes to immigration. And as for this idea that I'm some sort of anti-immigration candidate, I was never an anti-immigration candidate as referred to by RTE and many of the other media. That's not what I am. Because I'm not anti-immigration. I'm pro-immigration. I'm all for people coming to this country through legal channels and working in this country. I'm against illegal immigration. Controlled immigration, fair immigration is what Ireland needs. But you will never get that if you keep running off like good boys and girls to the polling station every single time and putting Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and Sinn Féin and the other parties, the other lefties, if you keep putting them on your ballot sheets, nothing is going to change. In fact, it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. I mean, what are you thinking? Voting for the Social Democrats or People Before Profit? I mean, Labour. Éan O'Riordan made it quite clear in one of the debates that everybody is welcome, that immigration is not a problem. Breed Smith said immigration is not a problem. These people don't see Ireland the way you see it. So start to cop on, will you? Not maybe not this time, didn't work out for me, but maybe the next time somebody else will run in the general election on the same issue. Think about giving them your vote if you want change. Now, on that note, by the way, we've issued a press statement today. We are currently talking to investors because during the campaign, I believe I was treated abysmally by the Irish media. Virgin Media didn't even invite me on, not once. But they did invite me on the day after I was defeated and I told them to shove it where the sun didn't shine. RTE, on the couple of debates I got on radio, as you know, I wasn't allowed on the primetime debate, even though I was polling higher than most. I was actually polling third, but they wouldn't let me on. because they only let the incumbent on. Those who've been on before, those who have seats in the Dáil, those who are already politicians, the new voices don't get a shout. But even when I was on the debate, I was shut down over and over again, both on News Talk and on RTE. You heard my very first interview on News Talk the day we launched. Kieran Cuddihy attacked me. Didn't do him any favours, mind you, online. But he attacked me because he wasn't happy with the immigration. Now, I have no problem with Kieran. He's just doing his job, I suppose. But it just goes to show you, the media follow a narrative. Talk media. I'm talking about RTE and News Talk, primarily in Virgin Media. Or TV3, as most people know it, because it was the worst rebranding in history. What a waste of money, Virgin. Anyway, it was the worst rebranding in history. And they, of course, didn't invite me on. But again, they follow the same narrative. Just watch The Tonight Show. It's just like a collection of lefties talking to each other. We need change. And I want to do that. And along with our small team, which is now getting bigger and going to get bigger, because we've been talking to investors, we want to not only have a podcast, but a network that will rival RTE, that will rival Virgin Media and give you an alternative view. Maybe a right-leaning view, a conservative view, but an alternative view to the stuff that you're being fed at the moment. Now, we need your support to do that, by the way. We can get in all the investors in the world, but we need your financial support too. If you can, please go to nileboylan.com. And I promise you, I won't let you down. I didn't let you down during the election. I was one man against a political machine. Political machines, career politicians who've been in the business for years. And yet I managed to stay in there till the last count. And I kept the Greens out of Europe. That was success to me. Because all the way along, people were saying to me, oh, you're going to get a seat, or you're going to get a seat. I never thought I would. I always put it down to 50-50. If I did, I did. If I didn't, I didn't. But I did well. And we'll do well as well when it comes to opening a network. We're going to give you an opportunity to have an alternative network. Because people say to me all the time, I don't trust RTE, I don't trust the media. Well, now we're going to give you an alternative. So let's put you to the test and see, will you support us to do that, to give you an alternative? Remember, you can donate or you can subscribe on our website, nileboylan.com. We're hoping to do that over the course of the next few months. We have investors that we've spoken to already. It is going to get much bigger and a much bigger platform. And I promise you, they'll be sorry they ever mentioned my name. All right. Now, but first, today's topic, it's a social issue, by the way, because, of course, we cover news stories like yesterday, the Aer Lingus strike. We also cover social issues, too, and this is a kind of interesting one. And it comes from an email that I got from somebody. It says, hi, Niall, can you please discuss something for me on your show? Yes, I went to pick up my 9-year-old from school as he had a hospital appointment. As myself and my husband pulled up in the car at the school, my son was waiting outside with another young lad. We both got out of the car as we spotted a good friend coming down the road. As we were talking to our friend, I overheard the boy at the school calling my son's name, saying, oh, Mammy and Daddy is coming to collect you. And as I turned, he was laughing at my son. I ran over. I could see my son was visibly upset. I asked my son, was he okay? And he said he didn't know him, but I wasn't happy. I went over to the boy and I said, who do you think you're talking to? What do you think you're playing at, upsetting my son, calling him names? Niall, he actually laughed at me and I lost it. I started shouting at him. And I told him I'd report him to the principal. My husband came over and pulled me away because I was so close to slapping the cheeky little brat. Anyway, my husband then started a row at me in the car, saying that I shouldn't have terrified the young child by shouting at him like that, like I did. And I had no right to do it. But I'll be honest, Niall, in my day, it was common practice for parents on the street to put you right if you misbehaved. Was there really anything wrong with me protecting my son and verbally disciplining another person's child? Okay, so the question is it ever okay to discipline another person's child? Years ago, it was very common. Oh, look, it happened to me all the time. I'd come into the house and I'd say to me dad, Mr. Warden across the road is going to give me a slap across the head. And then my dad said, for what? I only kicked the ball into his garden. And he go, well, then you deserved it, didn't you? And that's the way parents were in those days. Is it ever okay to slap somebody else's kid? Or not, maybe not slap them, but certainly verbally discipline them. You know, is that ever, you know, you're in a shop somewhere and kid does something cheeky or something like that, or is doing something and his mother's not there, his father's not there. Is it ever okay? Hey, give it up there. Get out. Is it ever okay to do that? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Right. Let's go to some of our callers. Don't forget, you can get involved in this conversation. Please do get involved in the conversation. And by the way, if you want to talk about something else, you're quite welcome to as well. Let me go to Nuala. Nuala, hi. How are you doing?
Not too bad, no. Not too bad. I think,
How did you vote, Nuala? How did you vote?
Well,
Well, nothing in the European elections.
Well. When I went to vote for the MEPs, I did independent all the way. And
okay, who did you get? Can I ask you who you gave your first preference to?
Malooly.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I was kind of happy with that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't argue with that. Okay.
Now, when I went to vote locally, there was one particular, you know, the usual ones, but he was very good. And always answered emails and met up with us and all that. So I kind of was.
Yeah, well, no, that's what the locals are all about. It's about the people who do something for you.
Yeah.
I always say to people, it doesn't really matter, you know, as long as you don't give too many in their vote. If it's Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, whatever. If it's somebody who does something good for your area, that's what local councillors are all about. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Getting back to what we're talking about, Nuala, is it ever okay, you know, to chastise or discipline another person's child? You probably did it in your day, did you?
Well, one time, well, in the past, I was canvassing in an area and there was this pony that was tied. You know, he's tied up in the middle of a green space. So there was these young lads who kind of half fired in stones and half, you know, with sticks or something and eyeing the pony. So that kind of, I hate to see anybody or any animal bullied. So I went over and I said to them, you know, stop that. I said, pick on somebody your own size. I said, he's vulnerable and you're kind of able to run away. You know, I felt I had to say something. Mm. I would say something. Now, I wouldn't go and hit somebody else's child because that would be very dangerous nowadays. Yeah. Well. But about 3 weeks ago, about 7 o'clock in the evening, I was, you know, waiting for a bus and there was two other people at the bus stop and there was two young lads came along. Now, they were fairly, they looked fairly clean and like as if they were just out of the barber shop. They were, one of them was 7 and the other one was 11. And they started begging off the two foreigners that were near me. Now, there was a French lady because it's near a hotel and she gave them €2, but she had no more change. So the other younger fella said, went over and he wanted something as well. And they were very pushy and cheeky. And so after a while, I said, you know, they weren't, I'd be afraid of them if they were a bit older. Now, I said to them, you know, your father would need to give you a clip in the ear.
Right.
And one of them said, that's child abuse.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
So
that's the problem, isn't it, nowadays? Yeah, you can't even look at a child sideways anymore. But I mean, is it okay to, you know, if the parents aren't around of some 10-year-old and they're doing something wrong in a shop back to the maggot, to go over and say, get the feck out, you clown, you. Get out. You know, is it okay to discipline another person's child, to give out to them?
Well, I'm afraid, even though I think it might be a good idea, I probably would do it. Especially if I see some bullying another child. Or, you know, picking on somebody, I kind of couldn't help myself. I'd have to do something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think that's what happens to most people. Stay there, Nuala. Let me just go to Sandy as well. Sandy, hi.
Oh, hi, and hi. How are you? I didn't think you were going to bring me on as quick.
Oh, there you go. So you weren't quite ready there. You're doing the dishes or something there.
No, I wasn't. I'm putting the colour of your hair. I wasn't talking to you.
You're putting the colour. You're putting the colour in your hair. Jesus.
Yeah, it's over here. It's pink. It's called purple. But anyway.
Yeah. So, Sandy, is it ever okay to have a go at someone else's children?
Verbally, yes, but in a moderate kind of manner. I was just telling your secretary there that I have an all-weather pitch outside my house and the kids are out there and they're playing football. You don't mind that, don't get me wrong. But I was walking over from the pub one night and they effed me and they blinded me out. It's nearly 12 o'clock at night. Because I turned around and said to me, come on now, lad. I said, it's 12 o'clock. I said, keep the noise down. I said, there's people in bed. Oh, you mind your effing business and blah, blah, blah. I said, don't you dare talk to me like that. Like, I knew where they were and they weren't from a decent family, and I'll say that. But I said, you keep a fecking up, and I said, I'll be ringing the guards. Oh, you'll ring the guards. I rang the guards, and the guards came down and said, yee, clear the F off. It just goes to show now that some parents, not all, they don't give a damn where their children are at, you know, all hours in the morning or at night time.
But there was an argument years ago that it took a village to raise a child. Do you remember that kind of argument? And that was the way it was years ago. You did give out to other people's children. You did discipline.
Oh,
but we don't do that anymore. We're not allowed. Because if you do, you find yourself in trouble.
Oh, I do. But I turn around and I said to them, like, I said, I know your mother and father. Can I go to their door? Oh, you go. And I went to their door and I told them, and they were in shock. Well, I said, look, I'm not being rude, but I said, it was nearly 12 o'clock at night time. I said, it's none of my business. But I said, we're playing outside my house at 12 o'clock at night time. And I said, there's people just going to bed. I mean, people with young babies in bed. I said, can you please keep them out of the area? I said, just until the daytime. Like, as you said years ago, oh, Jesus, you know what?
Actually, I got a box in the head off me neighbour. You know what I mean?
Well, it didn't do you any good, did it?
Yeah, I was playing football against his railings. You know the way you'd be playing football against the railings? And he came out and he said something to me, and I must have been cheeky to him. I'm sure I was cheeky to him. And, and he gave me a slap across the head. And I remember going into me dad crying. And I said to me dad, yeah. Mr. Warden said to give me a slap across the head. And he said, what were you doing? Yeah. He said, he kicked his ball into his garden. And he said, well, then you deserved it, didn't you?
Yeah, so. Well, I just want to ask you another thing, Niall, as well. It's probably a completely different matter, but if children are in the care of, you know, a creche or a nursery or whatever, and a child is very out of
place.
Out of order, sorry. Thank you very much. Still, they can give out some, all right, but they should not be able to lay a hand on them. Like, you did see it on the RT News or whatever on social media about a certain nursery in a school... a certain nursery in Dublin where one of these childminders did actually abuse the child by leaving the child sitting there crying and pushing him onto the ground, blah, 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 into the ball corner. I thoroughly do not believe in that kind of thing. Mm. No, definitely
well,
not.
Well, if you're paying people to look after your children properly, they should be looking after them properly. Although I do believe that if children are in care during the day or in a creche and they misbehave, they should be allowed to discipline them.
Oh, yeah, but not physically, you know, by hand.
Well, no. I'm not saying suggest to beat them up right like that, but they should be allowed to give out to them. Or they should be, and they should be allowed to exclude them as well. So, for example, if you got 10 kids and they're all painting and one of them starts throwing the paint around or something like that and you want to give out to them, you just say, take the paintbrush off and say, right, stand over there. You're not playing with us until you behave. Yeah, but that's...
Yeah,
but I can tell you now, there are parents that would complain about that. Oh, you can't exclude my child. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? All the leftists.
Yeah, but there is a proper way to do it, man. A proper way and for them to understand. Not going into their face like shouting and run. Don't you be effing doing this and say, look, why did you do that? You know, it's a reason why you did this. I know it's easier said than done, but it does bloody work.
Well, listen, thank you very much, Sandy. You continue, and I hope your hair turns out okay. Stay there, Nuala. John, hi, how are you doing?
Well, the good news from Cork anyway is right, that the new Lord Mayor has said he's going to make it his top priority to sort out the footpaths, the disgraceful footpaths in Cork City, right?
Right. This is Dan Boyle.
Yeah, and it's amazing, of course, like he forgot to mention the fact that he was a sitting councillor for the last 5 years.
Yeah, why didn't he do it then? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And this is amazing, isn't it?
Like, marvellous, yeah.
I just don't understand why people just vote these people, and I busted my ass with my candidate Anna Daly going around, and we didn't make it. Like, I mean, and she was an excellent candidate, right? Fantastic candidate.
John, what went wrong at the elections? What went wrong? Why is it when I talk on the show or on the radio or I met people, they all want to change, and yet at least 50% of them went out and voted for the same people again? What's wrong with them?
Well, like, I got a lot on the doors that there's a loyalty to the Martins, we'll say. Sean Martin, who was the brother of Micheál Martin. He's been a councillor for nearly 30 years at this stage, right? And the fact is that the elderly people, especially in Ireland, they'll tell you to your face, look, we kind of knew the family, and look, he's their long.
Yeah, my dad was a Fianna Fáil man, sure, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at him, didn't you, say, like, I mean, please, like you just referred to there, don't be giving them out money, because, as I always keep saying now, right, the local party, like, between Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, they have 17 seats of Cork City Council. They are the same three parties that are in government that are causing all the problems in health, housing, immigration, the whole lot. And if you're a sitting councillor representing that party, you're just as capable, as culpable as the fellas up in Dáil. It's the same party. Mm. And yet people put, I don't know what's wrong with them, mate. They put 17 of these people back in the Cork City Council.
Well, whatever about council, and I do know people like to vote in council elections for about somebody who does a bit of good for the area. And that's, I understand that. That's okay, right? But when it, when it comes to the European elections, which is kind of more omnidirectional, so to speak, or omnipresent, you know, we're talking about the major parties. We've just sent four major sitting parties back to Europe. You know what I mean? And one of them doesn't even know many genders, which he thinks is 9 genders. One of them actually thinks there's multiple genders as well. Aon doesn't even know what a woman is. He can't even define a woman. So, I mean, we're sending people back who haven't a clue about life. They just haven't a clue.
No, I mean, what's wrong with people?
What's wrong with them?
I just don't know. Like, I mean, I'd be the first to bitch and moan about stuff then. Like, I mean, the same problems are there. And you're quite right. Like, the general election's coming up now. You notice now, like, the whole immigration thing has kind of gone off the radar.
It'll come back again. According to Ipsos today, 81% of people believe the government are managing immigration badly. And yet, 81% of people send 4 people back to Europe who are managing immigration badly. Just goes to show you how thick we are.
Yeah, the only reason that they made, like, I mean, moves there towards cutting the Ukrainians' accommodation. Just to get the vote.
But John, they didn't actually really do anything. Because I tell you, look, this is all, you know, it's all mirrors, smoke and mirrors, right? When they took and said to Ukrainians, here's a letter, you've only got 90 days and then you're on your own, right? In accommodation. This is the new thing. They hand them this letter when they arrive, right? All they're doing is, it's exactly the same as before. They're just moving the problem to the Department of Social Protection instead of the Department of Integration. Right. Yeah. So in other words, once the 90 days are up, it's up to the Department of Social Protection to then find them accommodation. Give them the HAP scheme or whatever it happens to be, right?
It's not semantics. I mean, it's just nonsense.
It's pandering to voters, thinking that voters are stupid. And sadly, most voters seem to be stupid. Not all of them, clearly, but most of them seem to be stupid because they fell for it.
I mean, there was a person there, the report came in there, from the COH hospital there. There was a person there for nearly 2 days sitting in a chair, an elderly person, right? This is the same party, that you people voted back in, that put that person sitting at 8 years of age in a chair in the COH hospital. Yeah. What's wrong with people?
Like? Okay, sorry, back to the point in question today, John. Is it ever okay to discipline another person's child?
Well, physically not anywhere, because if you did that, you'd be in right trouble. I mean, you could be in trouble.
Have you ever disciplined someone else's kid?
I have, if they came here, my property stuff over the years, but thank God all that has started out now. Like, in my area, it was a bit rough years back, but it's grand now. But I mean, I would never raise a hand to a child, if they'd done some damage to my house and go to the door to the parents' side. But I would verbally chastise kids if I saw them doing something wrong, if I saw them bullying another child or something, or if I saw them pulling a wing mirror off a car or something like that. I definitely would. But you want to be very careful, because some areas there, unfortunately, that kid will go home and tell they're there, and next thing you know, all hell is going to break loose, and your property is going to be targeted. And so, you want to be just very careful of who you're drawing on you. Sometimes it's not worth it, just leave it alone,
So just let the kid away with it?
Well, it depends on what they're doing, But
you went into a shop, let's say, the local spar shop or whatever, right? And, there's just one girl there working behind the counter, and there was 2 young fellas there, and they're all kind of 10 years of age, 11 years of age. And they're robbing chocolate and crisps and shoving it in their pockets, and they're acting the maggot. You know what I mean? And the girl is telling them to go out, and they're telling the girl to piss off or F off. Would you get involved?
Oh, I wouldn't, situation like that. I'd say, let's copy the fun there. You know what I mean? Have a bit of respect. Would you like someone to talk to your mother, your sister like that, right? You know, I definitely would in a situation like that. But the thing is, the girl's like physically, you see, what's going to happen? Or even if they've done some damage, if they threw something at the shop assistant. And if you caught one of them, if the girls come, then he said, they're going to look at their age, then they're going to look at you, a full-grown man, and you could find yourself like a man at the wrong end of the law.
And why was it okay for us to do it years ago? Why did we do it years ago and nothing really happened?
I'll tell you why, because there's one word, and it's missing now, is total respect. Mm. That's the song. People have lost respect, which is all about me, oi, oi, oi. They don't give a damn about anyone else.
When I was a young fella, I was terrified of outfellas like you, do you know what I mean? And I don't mean that as I'm an elf of myself. I'm an elf of myself. But do you know what I mean? I was terrified of 60-year-olds, or 50-year-olds. To me, they were people that I had to respect. And if they told me to do something, you did it. Like, you wouldn't turn around. Like, if I was in a shop and John O'Dea, and I was 10, and John O'Dea told me, listen, get out, or I'll tell your mother. I'd have been shit myself.
Oh, they would. Should, I mean, there's no way you talk back. You talk back to an adult before, but I mean, no, they just had it half off.
Okay, yeah. Hang on just for a second. Morris, hi.
Lord, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Morris, you're old school. Is it all right to go over to some young fella and tell him, you know, come on, give it up now. I'll box the head off, you get out.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the same generation as yourself, and the dads were very hands-on. Like, you know, if you stepped out of line, you got a smack across the back of the head or whatever. But I admire the mother for standing up for her son at school from the email. Mm. Because that's what bullies do. They bully kids that are vulnerable. And he even had the balls to say it to her, to the child, in front of his mother and father. So John is right. There was no respect there whatsoever. He's just going to grow up to be a bully. And she was right to challenge him and stand up for her son, because it showed her son that our parents will be there for them at all stages. Today's day and age, I don't know. It's very dodgy. I had a situation, like you said there, about the three umpers robbing in the shop. And what I did was I closed the door of the shop and I told the girl, ring the police. Well, they emptied their pockets and started crying like little bitches. Right? And I said, will we let them go? And she said, yeah, let them go. They're sorry. I said, right, don't ever come back to this shop again. And they ran out with their tail between their legs. You couldn't do that now. Because if I closed the door on a kid now that was robbing, you held him against his will.
Oh, yeah. In trouble. Oh, yeah. False arrest or something. Yeah.
You'd be arrested.
So, you know, I definitely believe that. Like, I did hear a comment once. We were at a local community thing. And, you know, the way you'd have all activities at different tables and you throw a shilling onto a plate and you won a goldfish.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, remember that type of stuff. Yeah, I'm going back a while. This was trying as hard as I could. Well, the language of them was like something you'd hear in an army barrack square. The language of them. And I just heard one woman rung up and she said, is this young fella's mother here? And I said, yeah, I'm over here. He said, would you ever put a fucking muzzle on him, would you? Because of the language of them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If we're all saying that we wouldn't do it, or you're not going to discipline somebody else's child because times have changed, it's only going to get worse. Look at children nowadays. They, as you rightly said, John, they've no respect for authority. They've no respect for the police. They've no respect for adults. They don't care anymore.
And I bet you, Morris will agree with this as well, because I think possibly he would be in the same category as myself, that before your father, like the male of the house, if something went wrong and it was brought to the mother's attention that you actually the maggots around the room or the neighbourhood, whatever, and then you'd be told, wait, your father comes home, right? Like, there was discipline there, because if the father got to hear of it, then you wouldn't. The father was used as a kind of a weapon of mass destruction then by the mother. And then making the father come in the door, you'd be hoping to God then she mightn't say it right. She mightn't tell him at all. And then the look comes over her face and you know she's going to tell him. And then he was crash wallet banged in.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just get an Italian perspective on this, because the Italians now, they don't really. They'll discipline everybody, each other. Sorry, Lorenzo, hi.
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Lorenzo, would you ever discipline another person's child?
I kind of softly already did. And I did even several times when I was in the small animal practice as a vet.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think that the problem is at the moment, and is the same problem in Italy, is the fact that there is no... I know it's bad to say, but there is no fear of consequences in terms of, I think that at the moment, every parent, and I'm saying this with a three-year-old, so I hope to do not become like this, but I think that the problem at the moment is that a lot of parents think that their kids, their children are perfect. They are always right. They can't be touched. So that is the problem, because I was in Italy recently and I was talking to a friend of mine that she's a teacher, and she was like, I can't say anything. I can't do anything. I can't write them a note, because if I do that, I have the parents coming and, who you think you are? I'm the teacher. I mean, if I'm not entitled to discipline kids in a class, what's my job?
I feel sorry for teachers nowadays. I don't know how they discipline children at all anymore. So you're not even allowed to exclude a child if they misbehave. You're not allowed to raise your voice to them. You're not. I mean, how are you supposed to discipline children? And children do need discipline when you're not allowed to do anything anymore.
No, but that's, I think, is the problem in terms of the... We are breaking so many social constructs that we are breaking even the social construct of discipline. where everybody can do whatever they want because you can't tell them you're wrong because it's offensive. No,
I heard a lefty on the radio only recently. I won't say which station, saying that raising your voice to a child is violence. I said, what?
Yeah.
Raising your voice to your child. In other words, if you shout at your own child and say, don't go near the cooker, you little effeckin' eejit. If you raise your child, that's actually violence and should be reported. This is a psychologist, a professional person on a radio station saying it's violence. I said, there's something wrong with these people. How are you ever supposed to discipline children?
You know, we go sometimes in that direction when I kind of sometimes discuss with my wife and argue each other because to try to educate a 3-year-old, sometimes you have to raise the voice.
Of course you do.
Because you have to.
I'm not saying you scream and roar at them. I'm not suggesting you scream and roar at them all the time. But now and again,
no, exactly.
Yeah, the tone of your voice dictates discipline. So if you raise your voice and you're louder than they are, well, then they know you mean business. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sorry.
No, exactly.
Sorry, John. What did you say there?
This whole philosophy there, no, that your child is supposed to be their best friend and they're your best friend. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're the parent at the end of the day. You had this guy there going back there to the 80s, Dr. Spock in America. Then he said you should never chastise your child, you should never hit him, you should never verbally berate him, you should leave him grow into their own person. But you Christ, if that's the way, I mean, they won't know right from wrong.
But look at how society has changed over the last 20 years. By the way, I'm not suggesting for a minute we should be boxing the heads off children. We shouldn't, right?
Oh, no.
But look how society has changed over the last 30 or 40 years, where children are growing up to be complete and utter misfits because they've no guidance from parents who are doing this whole Dr. Phil nanny step nonsense and not actually disciplining their children properly. When I say disciplining them, you know, taking away their rewards, putting them in their room, or grounding them. I mean, parents don't even ground their kids anymore. That's considered to be abusive.
You have an ad running at the moment on the TV there. It's a man, he's looking for to try and get a property there, and he's the kid in the back seat. You know the one I'm talking about? And then he, like, they're after exhausted, going around looking at places now. And then he turns to her and he says, will we try again? And she puts a big face on her, and then they both get out of the car. And then he comes back in, and he turns around to her and he says, what did you think? And she kind of smiles in as if to say she's kind of impressed him with this property. Like, this is a child. Like, why is he asking the child? The child won't be paying the bloody mortgage.
We do pander to children way too much. You know what I mean? It's because when I was a kid and my man and I were going out and I was told, you know, get into the car. You're going whether you like it or not. Nowadays, it's would you like to go? It's this whole idea that we ask their permission before we bring them anywhere.
What do you think, Pat? What do you think we should do? You're the bloody pig.
What would you like for dinner? You know, I mean.
Oh yeah, that's it. Jesus help us! I said that to my mother. The plate would be clung to my face.
Those words were never uttered in our house when I was a child. What would you like for dinner? It was just your dinner is ready. And when you went in, you looked at the plate and you went, "Shit, I hate that." So, that was just the way it was, and I'm pretty sure it was the same in every other household as well. We didn't get a menu. I think we're just pandering to children. Sorry, Lorenzo, go ahead.
People didn't have a variety in oil. You see, they were damn glad to get food of any kind.
Now, I know this is not the 1950s anymore. Stay there, Lorenzo. Let me go to Karen. Hang on, both of you. Stay there, Lorenzo and John. Karen, hi. Karen.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Carrie. There's a line there. How are you, Niall?
I'm good. Karen, is it ever okay to discipline another person's child? No.
Short answer, no.
No.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
Because I think it should be left to the parents ultimately. And I'm listening to discussions back and forth. And I agree with a lot of the points on both sides. Like yourself, you know, you said you got a box in the head of your child. Now, if someone did that to my child, I would go absolutely not.
Oh, you'd be down to the police nowadays if that happened.
But the problem is, you see, all it would have taken back in those days too was when, you know, Mary or Johnny, whatever it was, oh, by Jesus, I'm going to go in and tell your mother or father. And that in itself was a deterrent because you were terrified of your parents.
Yeah.
But the problem today is that you can say that to children and they go, back off with yourself, fuck off. Well, you know, because the children know the parents are going to come out and defend them, and they shouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you shouldn't discipline. Now, look, if I've got children, I've had children on for birthday parties, of course, if they're misbehaving or they're doing something that's going to cause danger, well, I will call them out on it. And I don't mind in those sort of circumstances. But to go out and actually take discipline against the child, no, take it to the parents. So if I see a scenario where the child is misbehaving or something serious is going on, I will address it with the parents and leave it to them.
Okay, now, you wouldn't go over and shout and roar at another child?
No, I wouldn't. Now, and I listened to the lady, the email itself when they come in. Like, really and truly, go to the parent.
But what happens if the parents are not there? They're in your house and the parents aren't there. They're out on the streets. You don't know them.
If it's in your house, then I think you have full discipline because you are responsible for them while they're there for a birthday party or, whatever play date, whatever it is. That's fair enough. But to go out and actually... outside, no, I wouldn't. I would go and tell the parents themselves if it was something serious. That's what I would do. I wouldn't discipline, and I don't believe it was the right thing, like the neighbour hitting you a box in the head. It's like someone did that to my child. I would go full parent.
I don't condone that behaviour. I'm just saying that's the way it was when I was a kid.
I know, and it doesn't mean to say that it was right either. However, we are growing up in a society where we are raising snowflakes and we are raising
We've gone from one extreme. I mean, you're right.
That's what I always say. Yeah. I always say that to my own daughters as well. The problem with our country is it goes so far one way, then it goes so far the other. We were in a system where we had teachers with the canes, and I've heard many elderly people tell me stories where they got bit with the canes, and teachers did it for sport sometimes, purely sometimes though, because they didn't like a child. And it wasn't necessarily that child was necessarily bad, might have been a bit overactive at times, but there was no need to get the cane and whack the child. We've gone from that to now you can't even, as other contributors said there, the teacher, you can't even discipline a child now in a classroom anymore.
No, you can't raise
your
voice.
It goes from one extreme to the other. Yeah, it goes from one. And this idea of raising your voice is violence against the child. It's absolutely ridiculous. I, as a parent, raise my voice all the time with my own children.
Yeah, well, then you're violent. Sorry, Karen, you're violent.
Well, sorry, absolutely not. We're doing our best to raise our children as best we can with values. The problem is, it is lacking in today's society. It's very, very apparent. I also grew up in a generation, too, where elderly people, I never addressed an elderly person by their first name when I was growing up.
I know.
It was always
neither
Mr. or Mrs.
Mr.
Boylan or Mrs. Boylan.
I'm just curious.
And I never did it.
Sorry, I'm just curious. Lorenzo, was it the same in Italy? Do people refer to people by their second names? Like, Nuala or Karen is completely 100% right. I never knew any of my neighbours' names. I knew their second names. So it was always Mrs. Ward, Mrs. Murphy, Mrs. And my mother, I never knew her name. I didn't know her name was Lily till I was about 12 or 13 years of age. She was just Mammy.
No, as far as I remember, even for me, we always went... I mean, if my mother was going to say, okay, go to Niall and ask for this, she was going to tell me go to Niall, not to Mr. Boylan.
Mm.
But that's because in Italy we have two kind of ways to speak with people. So in a friendly way and in a formal way. So the idea would be like go to Niall and ask for a pen.
Yeah.
If I was coming to you, I was not coming and say hi Niall, how are you? I was going to refer to you in a formal way.
Oh,
so
okay.
Then I was going to use...
there's nothing wrong with formality. See, here's the thing, right? What the lefties have done is they've destroyed formality, right? They've destroyed etiquette as well. Because there was a time in school where, you would refer to the teacher as Miss and Sir. If it was a male teacher, it was Sir. When it was a female teacher, it was Miss, right? That's gone now. They don't call them Sir anymore because seemingly the lefties think that's something, that we're looking up to people and we shouldn't be looking up to people like that. We're not allowed to use those kind of words. And nowadays, even worse still, you're not allowed to use them because they're gender, because they say that Miss insinuates it's a woman. But of course it's a bloody woman, you know what I mean? Anyway, the point is you're not allowed to use these words anymore. So now kids call their teachers generally by their names, which I think is pathetic, right? I just think it takes away that whole... I suppose, dynamic of the teacher being the authority and the child being the pupil. And that's the way it should be, because the teacher should be the authority, the same way as the parents should be authority. Karen said she was terrified of her parents. Now, when she said she was terrified, the same as I was terrified of my dad, I still love my father, but I had a healthy fear of his discipline. In other words, I respected him. I respected his authority, that if I did something wrong, I was going to get a clacker. So I knew that. And that was a good thing. There was nothing wrong with that. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with going back to clattering children. But certainly, I do agree to going back to respecting your parents and having a healthy fear of them. Sorry, Karen, you want to say something there?
But then that falls back on the parents as well. I mean, sometimes then, like, we're here now having the argument about the children, blaming the children. But really and truly, we as the parents bring these children into the world, and it is up to us to ensure that they go out into the world, with respect and discipline and courtesy for everybody else as well. So really and truly, we're blaming the kids, but really and truly the fault lies with the parents. And most parents don't care anymore. They just simply don't care because they're so busy with their own lives anyway, because mums and dads are out working 40, 50 hours a week between commute and work that they're hardly seeing the kids anymore. And the kids are being dumped in crèches first thing in the morning, picked up last thing in the evening time. By the time the parents get home, they're too bloody exhausted. Then they get a dinner into them, do the bit of homework, it's all rush, 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 bedtime, 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 and everything is forgotten. Whereas it's back in the day when I was younger, mum stayed at home and mum raised the family. And dad went out to work and he worked very, very hard. And so it was a more family orientated society when we were growing up. But today we don't have that anymore. And then, of course, we have all of these influences as well, telling kids that, oh, to hell with your parents, to hell with society. You know, feck the patriarchy, feck this and feck the other.
Yeah, and all men are misogynists.
Exactly, yeah. And if a father then can't. And the problem, and a huge problem as well, and nobody wants to address this elephant in the room either, the welfare state has created a society where we have fatherless homes. Mm. And we see nothing now, and this is no disrespect, by the way, to any mother who's raising. And I've seen many of them on social media, and I've had this discussion with many people online. And fair play to any woman out there that's bringing up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children single-handedly. Sometimes because the dad has got absconded, no problem. However, we are in a society where we are raised, there's many children growing up in society with no father. There's no father in the house. And I think when we've taken that out of the house, we now see the ramifications of it. We now see a society where kids go out and they can do whatever the hell they like, and there's no discipline anymore, and mum is probably exhausted anyway. And really and truly, every child needs a mother, and every child needs a father. And unfortunately,
well, ideally,
the mother can't give
ideally,
to the
yeah,
child.
Yeah, ideally.
But however, the mother cannot do it all, and the father is missing. It's lacking in society that male discipline, that authority, that figure.
Just to back up your argument, there's parts of Britain at the moment, they call them man deserts. And the reason they're called man deserts is because there are areas of high crime, high social problems, where it's primarily single-parent families, and there's no fathers. And also the school, if you look at primary schools now, there are no male teachers anymore. They're all female teachers. 97 or 98% are female teachers, right? So a lot of these kids don't actually have a man in their lives. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or a male authority
yeah.
in their lives.
I agree.
And by the way, I completely agree. I believe the female and the male, you know, influence on a child is really, really important. Be it even if it's an uncle or something like that, it's really important to have, you know, both those kind of role models in a child's life. And if we look at statistics, and I can only use the United States because I've seen the statistics in the United States. And by the way, not all single parents, you know, is by design. A lot of it is unfortunately just relationships that break down or divorce or death or whatever it happens to be. But when you look at the statistics for crime, sadly, the majority of young men who end up in jail, for example, in the United States, come from broken homes or single parent families. You know, the majority of men that commit crimes come from broken homes and single parent families. That's not suggesting all single parent families are bad, because they're not. There's some great women, primarily women, raising children on their own. And that can be very, very difficult. And I admire them for doing that. But unfortunately, it is an uphill battle. And somebody sent in a quote here. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. Make what you want of that. But you are right, Karen. We do need to encourage our society to get back to valuing the family and the way and family values, because we have lost that completely.
The nuclear family and the structure of the family itself is gone now. Now, Damien, look, we want to destroy that in the last referendum in March. I don't want to go back to that, but that's a circle. But that's what they want. You're destroying the family. Well, you're destroying the nuclear family.
Well, look, you know, the government of Ireland were quite happy to remove the word mother, woman and family from the Constitution, which was the most bizarre thing I've ever...
And a further erosion of family and values and the cohesion in society itself.
But, Karen, with respect, the voters went out. After that referendum, of course, which was a landslide, over 70% of people said no to the government. They went out a month and a half later in the general and European elections and voted for the same assholes again. So, I mean, what does that say?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I know. But the problem, you know what, I will, I've said it many, many times, but one thing I will say in that as well, the problem there, I think a major fault with the, if you want to call it, the far right or the right or the centre right, like you and I, like and everybody else that's probably listening to the show, the people that are in the middle, that are not far left or far right, we're just bloody normal. But the problem is, when it came to the voting, and I think it's a huge problem that has to be addressed before the next general election, that people, it was a case of misinformation and disinformation on all sides when it came to voting and transfer of votes. And you probably saw that when you were in the count centre in Dublin and watching the tallies and watching the transfers. Like, for example, someone said they came along and gave, was it Maria Walsh in Somerset, gave Maria Walsh in Midlands North number 1, and then came along and gave Barrett National Party number 2.
I've seen that. By the way, I've seen, for example, on some of my tally sheets, you know, Niall Boylan number one and Eoin O'Riordan number two. And I'm going, how is that even possible? Well, yes, how would somebody like me and like Eoin O'Riordan when we're completely polar opposite? That doesn't even...
And so people were not educated properly. And I watched it online several times. People say, and people that I would consider, like I would follow and they follow me, they said, no, I'm only going to go give number one and number two and number three and that's it.
Do you think the transferable vote system works? Because here was my problem with it. I'm not crying in Sarah Grip. I'm not crying in Sarah Grip.
John McGurk.
Yeah.
Someone said John McGurk and Grip and said, well, if that's the case, then Niall Boylan, he wouldn't have got in, like because he didn't even meet the number one, two, three, or four, whatever it was.
But here's the thing. I was talking to John about this, actually. We were talking about the transferable votes, right? There would have been a lot of voters who voted, say, for Regina Doherty, Barry Andrews, and Lynn Boylan, who might have gave me a second preference because they know me from the radio. I don't get those votes because they got a seat. Okay, so their votes are absorbed, essentially their second preferences. So from that point of view, that seems unfair. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if for example, you're like the ones who are more likely to get a seat, you are probably not going to get transfers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a problem. And then you're right. There was a huge amount of misinformation.
There was, but not only that as well, because if you go back to the 2020, I always reference back to the 2020 election, the general election, the left, the so-called far left, they had vote left, transfer left. They were very mobilised, and what they did, they gave their first preferences to whoever it was, number one, but they kept the leftists all the way down the ballot, number one, number two, and they kept every left-wing candidate in the race. And that's why they ended up getting multiple elected at the time. It was a very successful campaign that they ran, and it worked. Sinn Féin, the main opposition of the far left, if you want to call them, they won the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is for the next general election, if people are genuinely serious about, you know, creating a movement in this country, then the centre has to get savvy. Go out and vote for whoever number one is, and vote number two. You have to vote for all of these centre or right-leaning candidates the whole way down the ballot. You have to, if you don't do that, and if you're going along then, as I do say, give you number one and Eoin O'Riordan number two. Like, that just makes absolutely no sense. I'm South, so what I did is I voted for Michael McNamara. I gave him number one and Eddie Punch number two.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would have been like that as well. So he went, and I went the whole way down the ballot as far as I could. And I think I stopped at Mick Wallace at number 11.
Yeah.
After that, I didn't give a single vote to a party. But I came down left, right, the whole way down. And that's what I did to maintain as long as my ballot then remained in the race.
Yeah, in other words, your ballot remained on the right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But then mostly some people would give one and number two. But my God, like if you'd given...
But there was a lot of dirty tricks being played. Sorry, and I've never gone off the topic. There was a huge amount of dirty tricks being played. There was one particular individual who was a member of an NGO. And he was telling people, don't forget, and he had a good following, by the way, and he got a good reaction. People who want to vote for Niall Boylan, make sure you sign your ballot sheet. And there was a lot of that kind of stuff going on. Or people who want to vote for Niall Boylan, make sure you sign your name in the box. You know, getting people to purposely spoil their votes. And there was an awful lot of... I reported that to the Electoral Commission, but they didn't care.
Yeah.
They said it didn't breach the rules. Anyway, sorry, we got off on a tangent. Let me go to Maureen. Maureen's been waiting ages. Hang on. Maureen, hi.
Hi, Niall.
How you doing? Sorry, went off on a tangent. Maureen, is it ever okay to chastise somebody else's kids? Karen kind of says, no, not anymore. You really can't do that. You just won't get away with it.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
I believe it is. If they're being disrespectful little brats.
Yeah.
And again, this goes right back to that children's referendum. When Egypt, with no children, decided to take it upon themselves to say, well, we're going to take the power from the parents and we're going to give it to the traitors in Minster House. And we knew that all this was going to happen and was like, well, the government want to take over your children. Well, then, you know, there you go. And what did they do, Niall? They went out and they voted for it.
Yeah, they did.
The same as they did the last election. And they're going to do the same in the general election. Mark my words on that.
And
because
why?
People are afraid of change, because they're afraid to step out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And what I saw going on in the last election was absolutely shocking. I mean, with the interpreters inside and ballot boxes and everything, I mean, that was off the scales. Like, that turned me completely off of voting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. By the way, for people who don't know, that's been around since 2014 or 2004, right?
But it was more to the forefront now. They were bragging about it.
Oh, but look, here's the problem. it wasn't a problem in 2004 because there wasn't that many people, right? So it wasn't an issue. Yeah. But when you've got thousands of people coming into a country, over 120,000 in the last you know, 2 years, 130,000, 40,000, now it becomes a problem. Where you've got somebody who comes into Ireland, literally here a wet day, has applied for asylum, and all of a sudden they're allowed to vote. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense whatsoever.
And then you have political parties busing them to the count center or to the polling stations. You know what I mean?
Well, hence the term Niall. The voting is rigged. It is rigged go in the direction of that. No, hold on.
There's nothing illegal about it. Hold on, to be fair.
No,
nothing,
it's not, but it's immoral. It is, but you can call it rigged because it is designed to go in one direction. It is designed to go to keep these scumbags in Leinster House who should be gone anyway. But that's neither here nor there now because, you know, it's going to happen in the next general election as well. So, you know, we're screwed anyway.
Well, no, I don't think they can vote in a general election. They can vote in a local election.
No, they can't. But the majority are going to go and start voting for the mainstream parties again. I mean, as you call it, it's Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, it is Stockholm
Syndrome. What is wrong with people?
Okay, get him back to Stockholm Syndrome. Get him back to kids, by the way. So if some kid is acting the fool in the local shop or whatever, a 10-year-old, or he's being cheeky to the shopkeeper or whatever, or rude to you or something, you'd have a go at him, would you?
Oh, I would. I'd go up one side of him and down the other without any problem at all.
Up one side of him and down the other?
Yeah, up one side of him down the other. Yes, they were being really good, because I've heard them now, leaving this town here, some of them. Not all of them.
Yeah.
But some of them. Very disrespectful, and I'd have no problem. And especially, again, because I was brought up, like you and people my age, we were respectful to our elders.
Yeah.
And it seems my father drilled that into me. Now, my mother was worse than my father. I was his pet, you say. Well, I'm an only child anyway. But if he heard me being disrespectful, or I called a neighbour by her first name, or the man by his name, it was Mr. or Mrs. to you, he'd say to me. So I was brought up with all this, be having respect, but there is no respect today. And there's a lot of parents out there don't give a rat's ass anyway what their children do. Because their little darlings wouldn't do anything.
So you wouldn't be shy about going over to that kid and pointing your finger in his face and saying, listen, you now, behave yourself, or I'll give you a good kick up the arse for yourself.
Not at all. And I heard you mention something else. Somebody mentioned something else as well about children being given choices. About 2 months ago, even my own daughter, now Lucy is 3, she's 4 in July, the 8th of July. She wanted to go somewhere. And I'm there, and I was waiting for her to make up her mind. And she was saying, well, she doesn't want to go. And I looked at her and I said, what are you talking about?
She doesn't
get to have a choice.
I don't get that either. How old is she, 4? And she was given her a choice whether she wanted to go or not.
Yes. Yes. And I looked at her and I went up. I started on her then too. I said, what are you talking about?
You're actually asking the child, do they want to go?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah.
This is the problem.
Yeah, Karen wouldn't be doing that to her kids. Karen, the point that Maureen is making is nowadays, young parents particularly, right, younger parents, this idea that you would say to a 4 or a 5 year or indeed any child in your presence, you know, I need to go to the shop, and you know what, you can't obviously leave them in the house on their own, right, into the car. That's what our parents would have just said, get into the car. Nowadays, it's like, would you like to go? And they go, no, I don't want to go. And it makes it all awkward for everybody. This idea that you would ask a child. You don't ask them.
I know. They haven't said that then. Does that lie with the parent? Does that lie with the child? Or does that lie with the fall lie with the child or the parent? The fall, again, I'll go back to my original argument. It lies with the parents. And if I see like that, if I saw a child out in public was being brat, I wouldn't go over. I wouldn't. The only time I'd ever intervene, if it were, and I did have a scenario, by the way, I'm not going to get into major detail, but a few years ago, one of my children was very young, and there was a scenario going on, they were being bullied. And I went to the parents, and then everything was grand for a couple of weeks, and it all kicked off again. And then I went back to the parents again. And then the mother asked me to discipline the child. And I sat down, I had a chat with her, and I warned her. I said, the next time, I said, I won't be so nice. I mean, anyway, a month, couple of months passed, and then she won that she kicked my child in school. And when my child came home, I went full Karen. I went down the road because I'd said it so many times to the mother, and I felt I was getting nowhere. And I went down, I went down, I knocked on the door, and I stormed into the house, and I went full on Karen.
You walked into the stranger's house?
Yeah, well, I walked into that mother's, that same house, I walked in, because I had now, Niall, bearing in mind, I think one, two, three, four times, I'd say, I had already said it to the mother.
Well, I have a picture in my mind, I have an image of my mind of you storming in like a good big Karen,
I swear to almighty God, yeah. I went through, but
full Karen.
My hair was standing on top of my head, I went on full Karen, and I went in and I screamed and I roared and I went full Karen, because I'd lost it at that point. I'd really and truly lost it. And I swear to God, I walked out of that house that day, I came home, and I swear, I was just, I was, when I came out of the house, I was shaking.
But I'm surprised your woman didn't attack you for walking into her house.
She didn't. Funny enough, she didn't. And when I came home, I said, it's my husband. I said, you know something? Like, if anybody came to discipline my child at the door, do you think they get past the door? They might get in the front door, but do you think they would get any further? Absolutely not.
Okay, do me a favour. Just stay there for a second, Maureen and Karen. Let me just go to Sarah Jane. Hang on. Sarah Jane, hi.
How's it going, Ian? How are you?
Good. I'm all right. Yeah. Always could be better. Yeah, I mean,
you're in your golden seat, and anyway, you're okay.
Yeah. Once I get paid next month, I'll be grand.
And that's the word. You'll be off your beans and chips soon.
Yeah, I'll be off to beans and chips soon. So, Sarah, is it okay to discipline somebody else's kids?
No, I probably disagree with that. I don't think a child can defend themselves, and I don't think anyone else has the right to do that.
So what, Maureen's wrong that she shouldn't be ribbing another child or Karen when she went into someone's house?
Well, Karen is very lucky because if she tried to come through my door, she'd end up through the front gate.
Yeah,
because
and I agree
let
with
nobody,
you. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree, nobody, I agree with you.
I do understand where she's coming from, so frustrated. But my empathy lies with the child. You never know what's going on in the child's head, and I don't think I'd overstep the boundaries there. You know, I'd be more so looking at the parents if the child is keeping up this behaviour, what's going on? Mm. Like, how many times have you to say it to a child? You've not to be doing this, you've not to be doing that. And they may understand it, but they're not hearing it.
But it does come to a point where you feel you have to do something. I mean, Sarah, if you're in a shop, for example, and, you know, kids are acting the maggot or upsetting the shopkeeper, and they're 9 or 10 years of age and they're being cheeky, would you not feel it necessary to say something to them?
No, I wouldn't. And I don't feel either. I've often been in a shop and I've often heard shopkeepers being so rude to children.
Oh, well, no, I've heard
and
that too.
And if you look at them and I'd turn around and say to them, you'd ought to know better than children.
But it's okay It's okay for children to misbehave. You'd let them away with it.
But I think there's a way to present yourself in the most behavioural way that you can without directing your anger at a child.
But
especially in the shop setting.
But then who's ever going to direct their anger at a child? Or who's ever going to discipline a child?
The way it is, if you see a bunch of children coming in after school, coming in on their break, and you have this behaviour, just don't allow them in the shop again. They're not acting like that.
Yeah, go ahead, Maureen.
You know, I know the problem is today, but the biggest problem is there is no consequence to any action that a child does.
Well, certainly not with Sarah.
So how are they going to know right from wrong? You know?
Yes, Sarah.
Every action you make and take is as a consequence to it.
Maureen, I do believe that there is a right and a wrong. But I don't think if you're the parent, if you're not the parent, that you have any right to trust a child, another parent's child.
Well, somebody told you like that, Sarah Jane. The parents are... Well, they have done it. I was wearing my children, like I've done it. But at the same time, if I hear a child, I don't care what age the child is, being a little a disrespectful, what I call little brat, their child is going to know that somebody out there is not taking that crap. Because our children say that's all it is.
In regards to being a role model, you're inflicting then your hatred on that child. God only knows
it's a child. No, I'm not inflicting hatred on any child, Sarah Jane. I'm trying to let the child know.
Like that, Maureen.
No. It depends on how you're speaking. We cannot let children dictate to adults, and that's what's happening today. Children are dictating in the home. I have grandchildren. Children are dictating to their parents.
So what are you trying to do? You're trying to say Sarah Jane's too soft?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not soft.
And this is not the problem today. People are soft.
Sarah Jane, is there anything wrong with Maureen raising her voice? Is there anything wrong with Maureen raising her voice to another person's child?
raising our voice to may put the fear of God into the child, but not for a better outcome.
What sort of outcome? The outcome you'd be looking for is discipline. That's what Maureen's looking for.
No, well,
if nobody's going to discipline children, they're just going to run amok.
Not a child.
But they're just going to run amok then.
Nobody.
Feral
okay,
children.
Feral children.
There you go. She said feral. Feral. Yeah.
Yes, some of them are feral. I refer to them as feral because there are some. I've seen them. Young children, to even 10 and 11. They're running amok. They're ruling the roost. By God, they wouldn't rule it with me, I can tell you that much. They never did. My grandchildren will never rule the roost with me either.
What would you do, Sarah, if it was one of your children or nieces or whatever it was, and Maureen gave out to them in a shop of 9 or 10 years of age? What would you react to that? Would you go down to Maureen and box the head off her?
I'd go over and speak to her and I'd ask her what was the situation, and then I'd say it to the children.
And would you not say to her, fair play to you, you're right to put them in their place, or would you say you have no business putting them in their place?
No, I'd get the children to apologise. I'd get me stepdaughters to apologise if they were in the wrong.
Well then, Maureen is right then, isn't she?
No, she's not. She's screaming and shouting at them.
But if they're being little bollockses, yes. They deserve to be screaming and shouting at.
Listen, Niall, you were lucky you got the head clapped off you back in the day. That's what it was like back in the day. But years ago, we haven't got that in society.
No, I'm not suggesting Maureen would clap the head off them. I'm not saying that. But she'd shout.
No, I know that.
And this business of shouting, you see, a raised voice is not example, shouting like a fishwife. There is a certain tone in a voice that children listen to.
There's maybe one out of four that you're at the shouting at. There's probably one out of four you shout at. I'm not going to say trauma.
Would you give it up, Sarah?
I'll shout.
No, but you know what I mean.
Anybody, I want to shout at if they are doing wrong.
Maureen, she's saying that if you shout at them, they could be traumatised.
No, I don't mean traumatised. I mean, they look at you, right? And the majority of children do look at adults as role models.
But they also look at them as authority figures as well, and they should.
Yeah, but they're not getting role models. That's the whole problem. Therein lies the problem. There are no role models on social media.
It's not like years ago. That's the way I'm putting it. That's the bottom line.
That's the problem, isn't it? It's not like years ago.
It definitely isn't. Generation has changed. Behaviours has changed. And family life, and sadly,
not all kids, but a lot of kids have no fear of authority and they just run amok. They do what they want.
No, they do have fear of authority.
No, they don't.
But
no, they
the way
don't.
People are speaking to
no,
them.
No, they don't. They're calling their mothers and fathers by their first name. Here's another thing that I notice. Kids nowadays calling their mothers and fathers by their first name. What's that all about? That drives me mad.
Yeah. That absolutely drives me mad.
I tell you now, if I had to call my mother Lily, she'd have boxed the head off me.
Well, I heard my grandchildren do it one day. They were calling they were talking to me, they talk about the parents and what they might have been doing for fun. But they were using their first names and I just turned around, I forget, it was something from my grandson. And I turned around and I said, "Hey, it's Mammy and Daddy."
Yeah.
And even my neighbours today, I call them by their surname. I'd never call them by their first name.
Yeah, I went back during the election campaign, I went to where I was born in Edenmore, and a lot of the elderly women that would have been the women on the road at the time were still alive. I met two of them. And I referred to them by their names, Mrs. Canning and Mrs. Ward.
Yeah.
Now, I know their names, but I just wouldn't have used them. But hang on for a second. Let me go to Norman. Norman, hi.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Yeah, there you go. Maureen and Sarah, different viewpoint. Maureen would rib them. She doesn't care. She'll tell them what she thinks of them if they're misbehaving. Whereas Sarah says you don't have a right to do that to somebody else's child, really.
Sorry, just before you go on... congratulations on getting so many votes. It's a shame you didn't get elected, but unfortunately, I just think the people around and they just vote Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and they don't care. They don't want to give anybody else a try. It's such a shame.
Yeah, no, it is a shame.
We need different voices, you know, and
well, we're never. Well, here's part of the reason we're never going to get different voices because the media don't allow different voices anyway. That's part of the reason.
No.
I mean, the media are too comfortable with the current political parties. Way too comfortable.
They are indeed. They are. And
I went on to RTE. I was attacked. The first word out of my mouth, I was attacked. Aon O'Riordan went on the next day. He was given 20 minutes to talk freely. Talk shite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the media have their friends. Yeah.
He's on all the time. You hear the same voices all the time.
I wasn't. We did try to get onto Virgin Media for the month coming up to the elections for that campaign. Yeah. We weren't allowed on. Aaron O'Raven was on for half an hour. You know, so I mean, if you're not going to get the airtime, you're not going to get elected. That's just the bottom line.
No, no. And the people are afraid. They don't want change. They don't want the same thing happening again and again.
Yeah.
And they like I said, my wife, she's kind of right of centre, Danish. And she was very impressed the way, you know, when Claire Daly didn't get elected and you went over to her and gave her a hug, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are reasonable people. Very impressed with it.
Mind you, I did see some stuff online, loads of conspiracy theories. People thinking that I was colluding with Russian spies or I don't know what of it. Anyway, because I have to be honest, Claire Daly, I don't agree with her politically, but I have to tell you, she is a lovely person. She is a wonderful human being and she's a lovely, gentle, kind person. For 2 days, we had chats outside. We were having a smoke and what have you, and we were having chats outside. And she's just such a really nice person. Out of all of them there. And you know, what I said this, I mentioned this too, by the way. Just, I'll throw this in here, we're going off the topic again. On the final day, on the last count, on the 19th count, right, all the political party leaders were there. Simon Harris was there, Micheál Martin was there, Ivana Bacsik was there.
Yeah.
All the leaders were there of all the parties, right? And we were all in this kind of pen, which is about 20 foot by about 40 foot, right? You know, with the different people before your man called out the last results of the last count, right? Micheál Martin, I'd say, was about 4 foot away from me, and he was talking to two people, and he looked over at me and just nodded. Right? Simon Harris was about 6 foot away. He looked over and just kind of acknowledged my existence, right? Neither one of them, even though I had been right up to the end in the final four, neither one could come over and just even shake my hand and say, listen, well done, hard luck, whatever. You know what I mean? Neither one of them.
Yeah.
The only person that actually went out of his way, and I'm going to be honest about this, and I know people don't particularly like him, Roger Gorman went out of his way to shake my hand. And also, Simon Coveney went out of his way to talk to me for about 10 minutes and did say to me that it was a fabulous campaign, well done, you did really well, and all this kind of thing. He was really nice to me, very pleasant. Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, I was, as far as I could see, I was looked down upon like dirt on their shoe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I was an inconvenience. That's what I was.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And they tried to smear you as well. Like they tried to smear.
Of course
Daly.
They did. Yeah.
And but I have some friends, went to them. They live in Dunacarney, or not Dunacarney, Dean's Grange, Box Rock. But I always said, that DJ, that radio DJ. I said, did you ever listen to what he said or what he's trying to do? You know, listen to. They were so snobbish that it, you know, was somebody from the radio. What were they doing in the podcast?
Yeah.
You know? That's the attitude. And the person, the neighbour, who I thought was very good, invited me to a barbecue next week, which unfortunately I don't think I'll be going to. But I said, I was sorry that Claire Daly didn't win. Got all upset and then slammed the door in my face.
Well, good. Well, I was hoping, by the way, that Breed Smith would give Claire Daly enough votes to go ahead of Aon O'Reardon and Ciarán Cough, because then I would have got a seat. But it didn't happen like that. Anyway, sorry, Norman. Yes, getting back to disciplining other people's children.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
I don't know. I'd run a mile. I wouldn't. Are you crazy?
Why?
Because if the Irish mother, they'd kill you. they'd cut your head off or something.
So would you never give out to somebody else's child? In a shop or if they were outside and they were misbehaving or...
Yeah. I mean, well, a certain age? Well, try that with the young teenagers.
Well, I'm talking about, say, a 10-year-old, let's say.
Even the 10-year-olds are mousy. My wife was going down to actually shopping centre down to Dunn's, and there was this Asian or Indian guy or something, and there was this group of four or five 12 to 13-year-olds around them, giving them abuse. And eventually the guards came and did nothing. So, I don't know. How do you fix that one?
Well, I mean, if I was there, if I saw somebody, you know, racially abusing a family on the road, a group of kids, I'd go over to the kids and say, give it up. Who do you think can get out of here, you little bollocks? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we've lost the ability to do that. See, you're even telling me Maureen will do it, but we've lost the ability to do that.
Yeah.
We should be doing that. It takes a village to raise a child. I'm not saying box the heads off them.
But no, of course not.
Yeah, but
no.
Give them a bit of your mind, a bit of discipline. What's wrong with that?
I blame the parents. The parents don't bring them up. I remember there.
But it's not just parents that raise a child. You know what I mean? It's everybody raises a child. Yeah, society raises a child.
Society.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't care about society in Ireland isn't doesn't do those things. I went over, there was four kids where they had these tins, cans, and they threw them on the ground. And they were about 5 yards or 6 yards away from
bin.
The tin, or what do you call it, rep bin, yeah. So I did go over to him. I said, do you mind picking it up and putting it in the bin?
Why did you say, would you mind picking it up? I would have just been there and say, picked it up, you bleeding agent, and put it in the bin.
Well, they were 16-year-olds, so I was a bit apprehensive before 16-year-olds.
Okay, sorry, I thought these were 10-year-olds. Maybe I'd be slightly different if they're 16 or 17-year-olds. Well, hang on, let me just go to Dave as well. Dave, hi. Sorry, Dave, hang on, stall there for a second. Bernie was there first. Ladies before gents, I do apologise. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand. I have no compunction, not if somebody's something doing something wrong, adult or child, I will say my piece. And if it's, you know, if it's affected, you know, so I had two 3-year-olds here the other day, and they went out the front back and they turned over one of my potted plants and they were biting the sight out of the plant. So I went out and I said, who did that? And my one ran off, of course, and because he obviously was the guilty party. And the other dad sat and he said, oh, we ban you. And then I said, that's fine, but they're plants, you don't do something like that. And the mother came along and I told her, I said, look, I had to say something because I said I couldn't just give out the one. And she said, no, that's grand. He knows he's not allowed to do that.
Yeah, well, see, that's okay then. At least the mother was decent about it. But, I mean, we do have a responsibility to give out to other people's kids by times.
Yeah, we do.
Because otherwise they just go unchecked.
So I have 10-year-old, 14-year-old, 17-year-old grandchildren. And if I'm with them, and if they're here at my house or I'm down at their house visiting and they're all kicking off or not cleaning up the house, I'd say, lads, come on, you can't do this. Mm. And I will happily say it. Because you don't disrespect other people. We're all taught that. If someone said to you, hey, you can't park there, you'd say, oh, geez, sorry. And you'd be moving it. So why is it not? Why am I to be watching what I'm saying to I'm not going to scream the brains out of them. I'm just going to say, that's not
normal. Would you raise your voice to another 10-year-old, to somebody else's child?
Well, if they're in my care and I'm looking at, so they run out in the road, I go, hey, come back here. You can't do that. You'll get knocked down. Is that wrong?
No, but if, let's say that you were in the shop. They're not in your care, right? But you're in a shop. And the example I gave earlier on to kind of Maureen and Sarah Jane, and you know, they're misbehaving or they're giving the guff to the person behind the poor girl behind the counter, or they're robbing chocolates or something like that, or and they're 10 years of age. Would you get involved?
I just say that's wrong, and that's that won't keep walking. And I'd say to the shop, they're doing something not right down there.
So you wouldn't get involved as such?
I'd say something to them passing. I'm not going to grab them by the scruff of the neck and drag them out.
No, you're not going to grab them. I wouldn't touch you. No, I recommend you would never touch somebody else's child.
No, I would never do that.
But you wouldn't raise your voice at them and say, listen, lads, put the chocolate back on the shelf and get the F out. Just get outside.
I'd say that's right. I'd just say, look, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. And I'd keep walking.
Mm.
Because, you know, unfortunately today, we don't know who we're actually dealing with. Like, as in kids, we don't know if they're carrying anything. We carry web. We don't know anymore.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of gone.
Yeah, sorry, Maureen. What are you trying to say?
No, I was going to say something before. I don't want to interrupt, Bernie, is it? But I have my car space out here, right where we live. We have space each, because I don't have a car now. But I was damned from these entitled people. They drive in and park in your space and take off and go downtown, you know, because it was nice and quiet up here. It was parking. So there was this one day, and I was so fed up, I waited, and I saw her coming back. So I watched her. So I was just by the door, but I was watching. So she went and opened the door, and then she went to close it, and I went to her, excuse me, where do you think you're going? Oh, I'm just popping over here for a second. I said, now, lady, you get your ass in your car, I said. You back it out, and if you don't, I'll back it out for you. Simple as that, Niall, because this was a sense of entitlement, and I was getting fed up of it. So I blocked it off with my flower pots, and it's only people coming to visit me now. So
it is your space. You're quite entitled to do that.
Yes, yeah. But you see, children are watching adults doing this. Children are watching adults behaving the very same way as they are.
Yeah, monkey see, monkey do.
No consequences for actions. Exactly.
Okay, hang on. Let me bring Dave in. Sorry, do apologise, Dave.
Sorry, folks.
Let me guess, Dave. You wouldn't be behind the door about disciplining somebody else's child, would you? I can guess.
No, I wouldn't. I know if their parent was there,
I'd probably mind my own business because I don't want to be undermining the parents' authority.
Well, you could say to the parents, listen, what's the story here? You sort that out there, will you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could do that too. But to be fair, if the kids act on the maggot and the parent is there, the parent probably isn't going to do anything anyway. You know what I mean? Like, especially, like if I was out, my kids were acting the bollocks, I would be mortified. And I'd be giving them that look. You know the one that says, wait till we are alone. You're going to suffer. You know, that kind of look.
That look, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but no, like if, like, look, if like my young friend, two of his friends stay over quite a bit and they take over the sitting room and there's TVs, PlayStations, pizza boxes all over the place. But they know that when I come back down in the morning, I want my sitting room put back the way it is. You know what I mean? And if they are acting a maggot while they're in the house, I'm going to chastise them. I have to. And it's the same. My young friend goes off mountain biking with a friend of mine and his son. And I've said it to my friend because they're on some, you know, some dodgy enough trails. If he acts the bollocks, crucify him. Yeah. I was like, you have my full permission to stretch him. You know, like, yeah. I don't think I know anybody who really has an issue with that. To be fair, do you know?
Yeah, but if you say your kid came home and said, you know, I was in the spar shop there, Mr. Walsh down the road, is at the shouting and roaring at us. And you say, well, what was he shouting for? We were just messing, like. We were just messing.
Yeah, well, I'd say next time have a bit of respect, you know. But I'd also try to find out that was he actually acting the maggot or was Mr. Walsh being a bollocks? Because there are, and I see a lot of elderly people where I live, they will come out and scream and roar at children for playing football.
Don't be having a go, Bernie. It's not her fault.
Hold on a second. Now, elderly people aren't canonized just for the sheer fact that they've more years on the planet. Okay,
leave Bernie out of this.
I'm not talking about Bernie. I'm talking about you. You know, so elderly people can be just as shitty and entitled as younger people can. Yeah. You know, I don't necessarily, like, if I mean, I'm surprised nobody's trying to make this a class issue and being like, well, it's kids from certain areas, because the most disrespectful child I've ever seen with my own two eyes out was actually from a very well-to-do family. You know, so.
I agree with you. A lot of the kids, you know, from the, particularly, say, in Dublin, from the Z4 areas, they're little bollockses, absolutely. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We went to the Wild Lights in Dublin Zoo years ago, and there was this kid and his little sister was in a stroller, and to look at them, you know, and the way they talked, you know they were well to do. And this little shitebag was using his sister's stroller to run into people's ankles, and the mother and father were just like, Samuel, stop it.
Samuel.
Wait till glory. You know, wait. Yeah, we're like Samuel.
Tristan, like, stop it.
But they were there. They were like, wait till Gloria hears about this. So I'm assuming Gloria is like the babysitter or whatever.
Oh,
and he was a little bastard. And I remember I leaned out to my own young fan and goes, you see that young fella over there? And he was like, yeah. I goes, if you ever behave like that, I'll fucking kill you. And he's like, what? I goes, no, but you're okay. You're fine. But just know, if you ever behave like that in public, your life won't be worth it. You know, so.
What is it about posh kids having names? Samuel. And I'm sorry, but the girls are always called like Dimphna or Sinead or.
Yeah, or devised yeah. Like Fiacra, Fanon.
Saoirse. Yeah, of course, Saoirse. Yeah, Blonde is a good one. Yeah, that's a good one as well. Yeah, and lads are always Harry, Tristan, Samuel. That's a good one. Oh, you don't get Johns living in D4. You know what I mean? But mind you, does anyone call their child John anymore? I mean, are babies born with an? Because I'm looking, you know, in my head here at a baby, right? You just can't imagine them with the name John on them anymore. She can't.
Oh no!
I know
Johnny.
A couple Johns.
What?
You know,
John. Popular? Oh, sorry. One at a time. Sorry, what did you say, Bernie?
Johnny, like Johnny, you don't hear Johnny anymore out in the playground.
No, or Paddy. Like, you don't see babies called Patrick anymore.
Well, or Peter.
Or Peter, or Thomas, or Mary. You don't hear Mary anymore. They're all gone.
Yeah. Paul,
Or Niall. I mean, who names a baby Niall?
Yeah. I've just been told in my ear, third most popular name in 2024 was James. Oh, there you go. Surprise me. I'm going to guess what the number one is, and he's going to tell me a second, and it's going to blow your minds, will it? Jack and Noah.
Jack,
Noah.
Well, hold on, he's telling me the top 10 here. Hold on. Fionn. And what was Oisín, Tadhg, and Killian. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, sorry, Albert, hi.
Niall.
No baby Alberts anymore either. There's no, you don't hear baby Alberts anymore.
It's funny, it's Albert the Great, that's all.
So, Albert, is it ever okay to chastise another person's child?
I'd love to say yes, but no, it's not. And simply because it's become so litigious now that if you hit a kid, before you know it, you'll have a solicitor's letter, you'll have an appearance in court, and you'll be paying compensation.
Yeah, well, okay, so don't hit... No, we all agree, you don't hit them. But is it ever okay to go over and, you know, rib them, give them, raise your voice at them, point a finger and say, I'm going to break your neck, get out of here, you little bollocks. Is it ever okay to discipline them?
No, because even threatening them, you'll still come up with the same problem, threatening them. And the problem is, they will go into the mother and father, they'll say, that man up there, they won't say he abused me or he yelled at me, this, and he hit me and he put his hand on me, and before you know it, you're in a situation. So, I have to be honest, you just need to stay away from kids, because kids now are so wide awake to what they can do and how they can manipulate things, and you just got to stay away from them. You really need to just mind your own business.
But isn't that a sad world? Because we did live in a world where we all raised each other, communities raised each other, right? And now we've got a situation where children seem quite fearless of authority. And, you know, don't get me wrong, most kids are good kids. But a lot of them now, you know, they're little tearaways. They're feral, you know, as Maureen said earlier on. Because there's no authority.
Yeah, I mean, look, you and I would be a reasonably similar age. I mean, I remember when I was at school, 48 kids in my class. Some of them had ADHD. Now, if you look at it, every second kid out there on the road has ADHD, and that seems to be the excuse for, I'll let them do what they want. Always.
Yeah, they have
a problem. No, ADHD. Yeah. I mean, I said there's kids who have a problem with ADHD, but it seems almost like a badge now that they wear.
Yeah, in our day, we didn't diagnose children. I mean, there's a whole thing to people saying that more people nowadays have ADHD. No, they don't. It's just that we're diagnosing it in people. We didn't diagnose it. There was kids in our class.
It is.
It's the most overdiagnosed label, absolutely, without a shadow. I mean, I was reading an article the other day from a woman who was in her kind of 40s or 50s. I've been diagnosed with ADHD and it answers so many questions in my life. And I'm going, why would you be, I mean... Like, if I went through the kind of, with the checklist for ADHD, I'd probably come up with something. Do you know what I mean?
We have it.
Yeah, I mean, so what, like? But why would you want to be diagnosed at 54 with ADHD? I don't understand that. I don't understand the logic of that at all. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think a huge amount of it comes down to parenting as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's people out there who it's laissez-faire type of parenting. Where they let the kids almost do what they want, run around, and they get everything that they want as well. So there's no more be good and you'll get something for Christmas, you get something for your birthday. Now they just get something every week. And so they just do what the hell they want.
I'm surprised at you, Albert. But the problem is, Albert, that we all think like you now. We're all afraid to raise our voice. We're being even told by psychologists that raising your voice to your own child is violence. Like, did you ever hear any such shite in your life? In other words, children will have no authority voices left at all because we're not even allowed to raise our voices to them anymore. So we can't,
I think it's the reason you see so much crime on the road and being perpetrated by young children.
Mm.
You know, when you see, when you hear about like someone being murdered by 12 and 13-year-olds, you're going, oh my God, like, this would have happened maybe with 20 and 30-year-olds, but now it's happening with, like, teenagers and before they're even teenagers. Like, what's happening to the world at all?
Somebody mentioned the statistics earlier on, and I kind of loosely mentioned statistics in relation to what Karen was talking about children in fatherless homes, right? And by the way, again, I don't want to have a go because there are many good single parents out there. But here's the stats. The true impact of fatherlessness in a child's life. 72% of adolescent murderers and 60% of rapists grew up without a father, while 70% of juveniles in state institutions grew up in single-parent homes. Now, they could be by, circumstance of people breaking up and divorced or being in a situation where the father absconded with the woman was pregnant or whatever. But the point is, it's really important that we should strive to encourage the family because it's a big problem, huge problem.
Yeah, but Niall, look, you see, this is the thing about nowadays and years ago. My dad died when he was very young. I was 9 years old. My brother was only 6 months old. There was four of us in the family. Every one of us turned out good. Every one of us went out to work. Every one of us did everything. None of us were ever in trouble with the police, never brought the police to the door, never in court over anything. And nowadays, if you know, this is an excuse now for people to say, oh, well, it's a single parent family or it's this or that. But the fact is, there's no discipline either. My mother had discipline with us. Like, we all did what we were told. Whereas now, like, even though she was a single mother, but now, I mean, it's just, there's no discipline at all.
No, the foundation starts in the home. I mean, your mother didn't turn around and ask you what you wanted for dinner. She just,
oh, no.
She didn't say, like, what would you like for your dinner, Albert? It was the same for everybody got the same thing, whatever she decided she was making. So this whole idea...
Well, she could afford, Niall.
Oh, whatever she could afford, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying to my wife the other day, my mother used to send me down to the butcher. Go down to the butcher and get some pet mints. And I go, but we don't have a dog. And she said, doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah. Just ask the butcher for the pet mints. It'd be grand. Let me go to Carl. Hang on for a second. Carl, hi. How are you doing?
How are you, Niall? How are you?
Good. Well, do you ever get pet mints?
I did used to get pet mints. My ma used to send me up for tenpence worth of pet mints.
Yeah.
Miserable old kid. She was tenpence worth of pet mints. Yeah, look, most people are often singing out the same hymn sheet. No, you can't discipline a kid. Now you'll find yourself up in court. Well, a young Flynn Hours 3 years ago threatened my wife, giving out fucking abuse to my wife. And I told him one day, I says, open your mouth to my wife once more and I'm going to fucking drop you where you stand. I'm getting my dad down to you. I said, bring him down and I'll drop him as well. Now,
how old was he? How old was he?
About 14 or 15.
Oh, okay.
Like, giving abuse to a woman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everybody having a go at kids.
Yeah, but it's clearly his father's clearly a scumbag if he's raised a son that thinks it's okay to abuse, you know, an adult woman.
Now, the problem is his mother and father would have killed him if he found out.
Right.
You know, he just thought he was a big man, you know, but he wasn't a fucking big man at all. But yeah, but like most people, there is a lot of kids out there, as I call them, see you next Tuesdays, who deserve a good slap on the sly. Unfortunately, at cost, you're going to end up either a prison sentence or a massive fine. So is it worth it? No. Kids have
It's not only that, Carl. It's starting in the home. We're not raising children properly anymore. We're listening to too many lefty experts. And the schools, for example. I mean, okay, absolutely, teachers shouldn't be hitting kids. We're well aware of that, right? That went out years ago, right? But they should be allowed to raise their voice at a child. They should be allowed to discipline a child. They should be allowed to, you know, say, put a child standing outside the classroom if they misbehave. They're not allowed to do those things anymore because that's considered to be traumatic for the child. Or I'm not saying put them in a corner with a dunce's hat or stand. Or in my day, you'd be told to stand in the bin. Do you remember that? Get over the car.
You do.
Stand. I don't know what the standing in the bin was all about, but you'd be told to stand in the bin in the corner with your face facing the corner, right? I don't necessarily agree with that. It's a bit weird, right? A bit creepy.
Yeah.
But there's no harm in saying to a child, if they're not going to play ball and they're not with the rest of the class and they're not going to do what they're told, okay, get outside the door, calm down for the next 10 minutes. I'll call you in when you're ready to participate. You know what I mean? Those guys. But that doesn't happen anymore. They're not allowed to discipline. And then in the home, parents are not disciplining their children anymore. They're letting the PlayStation discipline them. So there's no discipline anymore. And then you, as a stranger, are not allowed to discipline somebody else's child. You'll end up in court. You're not even allowed to shout at them. You shout at them, you're told that's violence. Shouting is now violence. By the way, you shouldn't shout at another adult. I completely agree. But when it comes to a child, sometimes you have to change the tone of your voice to get some sort of authority.
You have to. Well, I can't agree 100%. And everything you've said, I agree with. I mean, the first drawing I ever saw was a duster in school. And that we used to get dusters thrown at us or chalk thrown at us.
I mean, with
the teachers. We learned the hard way. I'm not going to say the hard way, but we had cane and then we had the leather strap. We were in primary school as well.
Yeah.
And we learned respect for our elders. And we had respect for each other. You know, unfortunately, respect has gone out the window. It doesn't even exist anymore with the young kids growing up today. And like one of your callers there said, I mean, it's not the socially deprived areas that are involved in all this. It's the well-to-do areas as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like little Johnny, you can't touch me at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason why they're not called Johnny anymore is because Johnny was always a smart little bollocks in school. Always had a smart answer for everybody. Look at the little Johnny jokes are still going around.
Yeah.
Jeez, I wish I was called Johnny.
Well, listen, thanks very much indeed. Albert, Carl, Bernie, thank you very much indeed. And thank you to everybody who got involved in today's show. By the way, just to remind you again what I said at the start, and you might read in the papers tomorrow because we have sent a press release out. And the news I was telling you that we were planning before Christmas, and we were planning it before the election actually, but the election obviously sidetracked us a little bit, was that we wanted to expand this podcast because we're not going to get attention just doing this podcast. We do get some, and we get a massive amount of views every month between downloads and views and live views. About 750,000 people watch this every single month, which is great. It doesn't translate into money. I wish it did, by the way, because most of you watch it for free, as you were doing right now. But here's the thing. We wanted to expand it because, particularly during the election, I noticed, as I mentioned earlier on, that the media in this country, and I'm talking about the media, not the, obviously, music radio. I'm talking about talk radio. And I'm talking about talk TV. I'm talking about RTE. I'm talking about News Talk. I'm talking about Virgin Media. There's an absolute bias. And there's a narrative that they follow. Yes, they pretend to be impartial every now and again by bringing on people who disagree with that narrative, but they will tear those people apart. Whereas those who come on and agree with the narrative, they never do. They get away with saying whatever they want to say. So we need an alternative media. Other countries have alternative media. For example, America have CNN and Fox, two polar opposites. In Britain, you have GB News and you have Sky, two polar opposites. But in Ireland, we don't. We have Virgin Media and we have RTE. And we have News Talk, who all are left-leaning. If you ask me, you might have your own opinion on it. But I believe they're all left-leaning. They all play for the same hymn sheet. They will never give anybody else an opportunity to get elected. They're too close to politicians. It's too cosy. And we need a change. Now, I've said about change before. You all seem unwilling to do it. But I know you will be willing to do this. Because I believe that we need to get our media sources elsewhere. We, of course, got Grip Media, who do a wonderful job. You've got the journal.ie, who are complete and utter lefties. We're all well aware of that. And then you got Grip Media, who would be, I suppose, right of centre. And they don't deny that fact. They would be right of centre, but they give you an alternate view of a news story, which is good. And that's what we need. We need more things like Grip Media. But we need more radio. We need more television. But the thing about it is, television stations and radio stations, their days are numbered. In a sense that nowadays, when you look at the statistics, online streaming, online websites, online or say Spotify, podcasts are all just as popular. The days of applying to the broadcasting authority to look for a license to broadcast are gone. And they're not going to change. And I hopefully Commissioner Ma won't try and take over that. Well, I won't allow that to happen. I'll stand against that if that happens. So nowadays, I can broadcast this podcast and we broadcast it live on bigger platforms than FM. Because FM, unfortunately, is not as big as it used to be many, many years ago. So we broadcast on Twitter, on Facebook, to massive audiences. We can do that now. On Spotify, to worldwide audiences. Not just in Ireland or in Dublin. But we want to offer you something bigger. And that's not just this one podcast, but it's a network of podcasts. But a network of live shows. A network of people who think the same way as me and us. People who want to hear the other side. People who are not afraid to talk about immigration. People who are not afraid to challenge the narrative on climate policy. People who are not afraid to talk about other things and to give solutions, different solutions to our housing problem. And people who are not afraid to speak out about gender ideology. People who are not afraid to speak out about things without a fear of being cancelled. And that's what I want to offer people. Now, we've been speaking to investors who are willing to come on board, but we need more than that. We need your support too. Both financially and otherwise, we need your support. So please, if you can help us in any way, we would really appreciate it. I promise you, when this is all done, when we manage to get it all together, I will tell you exactly what we spent on it. We'll be fully transparent. But we need your help and we need your support. So if you can go, if you can donate or you can subscribe to this podcast, everything helps. It helps us to get to the next level. The next level, hopefully, will be coming in the next few months. And I promise you, we won't let you down. Go to nileboylan.com and support us in any way you can. If you think you can donate a huge amount of money, let us know, by the way. We would be quite happy to take it off your hands. And it would be put to really good use. So it's at nileboylan.com. You can donate a small amount, a fiver if you want to, or a larger amount. or you can subscribe to our podcast at $5.99 a month, which is the price of a cup of coffee for the three of us here. So we can continue doing this and continue to expand and go to the next level, where it'll be a full network and we have some great ideas. And I promise you, the government will be very worried, just like they were in the elections. I made it difficult for them. We also have a presenter on board who I can't name, and because he doesn't want to be named. But you all know who he is. But he will be Ireland's first AI interviewer. In other words, you won't even recognize his voice. It'll be all done through AI. And he will be called the man behind the glass. And the idea behind that is, of course, there's always somebody behind the glass telling you to watch out or look behind you, that something is coming that you kind of didn't know about. And we've seen that in the past. Those people tend to get called conspiracy theorists, don't they? But they're not. They're people who are telling the truth, usually. But we just don't see it. But we're not listening to them. But now we want you to listen to the man behind the glass. And that's all part of the network that we're putting forward. So please do support us. And I promise you, it will be taken seriously. And you'll understand why when we do it. Go to nileboylan.com. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. I'll be back again tomorrow, usual time. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.